We're going to read the Word of God. I invite you to stand with me. Acts chapter 8, verses 26 through 40, where the Word of God says this: "Now an angel of the Lord said to Philip, 'Go south to the road, the desert road, that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza.' So he started out, and on his way he met an Ethiopian eunuch, an important official in charge of all the treasury of Candace, queen of the Ethiopians. This man had gone to Jerusalem to worship, and on his way home was sitting in his chariot reading the book of Isaiah the prophet. The Spirit of the Lord told Philip, 'Go to that chariot and stay near.' Then Philip ran up to the chariot and heard the man reading Isaiah the prophet. 'Do you understand what you're reading?' Philip asked. 'How can I?' he said, 'unless someone explains it to me.' So he invited Philip to come up and sit with him." This is what the passage of Scripture the eunuch was reading. "He was led like a sheep to slaughter, and as a lamb before its shearer is silent, so he did not open his mouth. In his humiliation, he was deprived of justice. Who can speak of his descendants? For his life was taken from the earth." The eunuch asked Philip, "Tell me, please, who is the prophet talking about? Himself or someone else?" Then Philip began with that very passage of Scripture and told him the good news about Jesus. As they were traveling along the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, "Look, here is water. What can stand in the way of my being baptized?" And he gave the orders to stop the chariots. Then both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water. Philip baptized him. When they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord suddenly took Philip away, and the eunuch did not see him again, but went on his way rejoicing. Philip, however, appeared at Azotus and traveled preaching the gospel in all the towns until he reached Caesarea." This is the Word of God. Please have a seat. I know it's not Thanksgiving, but I have one for you this morning, all right? How do you catch a one-of-a-kind rabbit? How do you catch a one-of-a-kind rabbit? Unique up behind him and grab it. Unique up. Come on, folks, wake up. Unique. Eunuch. It's interesting that throughout Scripture, we talk about these eunuchs. Every now and then we hear about them in the Old Testament, we hear about them in the New Testament, and yet this is probably the showcase of showcases when it comes to eunuch and the idea of what this all means. I want you to hold on to that word, eunuch. I want you to understand that especially in today's world, it's unique. And the purpose of bringing it forward here seems to be very obvious, but I want you to think about that until the very end, because it's unique that God uses a eunuch in this passage and in the future of God's church. Now, I said, hold on to that. We're going to come back to that. We're going to sneak up on it and grab hold of it at the end. But where do we start in this passage? We start with Philip. We start with this journey of this man who seems to be headed somewhere, but suddenly is told something else by an angel of God, by the Spirit of God. And that's really the first thing that we need to understand as we live our lives on this earth. How open are we to the leading of God? How open are we to the Spirit of God telling us where to go and or what to do? The last few weeks we talked about this idea of healing, and we talked about the power of the Holy Scripture or the Holy Spirit. And a lot of you have pushed back talking about where is that will of God and what happens when things don't happen and how is it that we know that it's the Spirit. And so often we struggle because we tend to be so rooted in science and logic that the idea of an angel of God, the idea of the Spirit of God speaking in the world today and leading us seems very, very foreign. And yet here for Philip, Philip hears an angel. Philip is led by the Spirit. Philip, more importantly, obeys. Understand the image. The image is, again, from that room where the disciples were gathered after the crucifixion, where they were all fearing the future of what they knew as Christ and Christ's message. Christ comes to them. They leave that room, but in the midst of the world, people think, oh, he's dead. Other people think, oh, they've stolen his body. Other people think that it was just a big hoax. Nobody really knows what's going on. Fast forward a little further and you find out that again the establishment continues to try and stifle the message of Jesus. The leaders within the synagogue, the leaders within the civil government don't want this uprising to happen. We saw it with the message of the beggar, the lame man who was healed, where they brought Peter and John in and they tried to silence them. There's a lot of unrest around this Jesus message. There's a lot of hate amongst this Jesus message. And nothing would be more comfortable than to sit in a room like this with a bunch of people who feel the same way and be safe. And yet an angel of the Lord says to Philip, go to the road to the south, to the desert road. And he goes. He doesn't know what he's going to face. He doesn't know what might happen, but he goes. And then to take it a step further, the Spirit tells Philip, go to that chariot, go to that eunuch, and stay near. Again, a leader, an Ethiopian leader, someone who he wasn't familiar with, someone who could have had even more hatred in his heart for Philip, and yet Philip obeys the calling of God in order to connect with another human being. When we look at our world, it seems like it's not all that different. Our society of late doesn't have a high appreciation for the Christian message. The idea of being a Christian is something that seems foreign in our society. Attending church is an all-time low in our society. Being willing to stand up and say that you're a person of faith often brings laughter, snickering, and potentially persecution. In other countries of the world, you will lose your life if you say Jesus is Lord. And so the idea of doing something that God calls you to do might have a price. And yet Philip does it. And yet we today, you fill in the blank. when it comes to your life, and when it comes to seeking that guidance, when it comes to being open to the Holy Spirit, when it comes to doing what God wants you to do, are you willing to go to the South Road? Are you willing to go to the Desert Road? That place where maybe nobody else would go. Are you willing to run to a stranger? To someone who is a different color, a different language, of different social status. Someone who you would never know and yet run to them. Because God says, Paul, you need to go. You see, as you read this story, you find out that Philip is a person who listens to the Spirit of God. And today we've got to ask the question within each of us, are we willing to listen? Or are we more apt to cave to social norm in our world today? But then Philip's gifted. What do I mean? I don't know about you, but if I were running up to someone who I had never known before, someone I'd never met, if I was running up to someone who was in a really, really nice chariot, if I was running up to someone who didn't speak my language and we had to find some common ground, I'd be rather anxious. And what we see Philip do here is that he runs up to this chariot. He hears what this gentleman is doing. And then he sits with him. Now, why is that important? It's because he doesn't preach. He doesn't point fingers. He doesn't talk to him about how lost he truly is or what a wild individual he is from Ethiopia. But he instead says, what are you reading? Do you understand it? And the gentleman in turn looks at him and says, can you explain it? You see, Philip had this unique ability to connect with the Ethiopian because he went there with the Spirit of God leading him, not to conquer, not to win a battle, not to debate, but to build a relationship and to have a conversation about a living God. And again, so often we think that the answer is inviting people to church. We think the idea is some form of judgment or law or something that will really zing people into belief. But the most powerful tool we have is our ability to sit down next to someone, a human being just like us, who may not have the answers, who may have so many questions, who's struggling and wandering, and sit down with them. And to listen to their journey. And to embrace their questions and concerns. And to, when time allows, when the relationship is built, when the conversation comes to that point, share the good news of Christ with them. Philip was that person who was able to take the story of Jesus and share it with this eunuch. Again, how many of us want to run to the chariot? How many of us want to get outside of our comfort zone? How many of us want to take the time out of our busy schedule to listen? How many of us want to listen to those questions that seem so simple for us and yet so difficult for those who don't know Christ? How many of us are willing to build a relationship with someone who's different? With someone who, again, doesn't speak the same language that we do. And yet, Philip shows us an example that he listens to that call of God, and in listening to that call of God, he in turn listens to the eunuch, to the Ethiopian. And then, as I've said, he keeps it simple. He doesn't talk about theology. He doesn't talk about the Trinity. He doesn't talk about whether or not it's baptism this or baptism that or Lord's Supper this or Lord's Supper that. He doesn't talk about the role of women. He doesn't talk about divorce. He doesn't talk none of that. It says clearly that he takes the story that the eunuch has been reading and with that begins to tell him the good news of Jesus. Folks, so often we love to get caught up in debates. Again, we live in a society where things are logical, they're scientific, they're mathematic, they're legal and litigious. And we forget about the good news. The good news that is, for God so loved the world that he sent his one and only Son, that whoever would believe in him would not perish but have eternal life. He came not to condemn the world but to save the world. Or maybe in another way it says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, understanding, and love your neighbor as yourself. The good news of Jesus, the good news of Christ's love throughout history for humanity, the good news of God's pursuit of each and every one of us, the good news that this gift is for all, whether they're close or far off. He doesn't get caught up in whether or not he's circumcised or uncircumcised, whether or not he's a Jew or not a Jew, whether or not he's got the right clothes or the wrong clothes, whether or not he's got a good chariot or a bad chariot. He simply tells them the message of Jesus Christ, died, crucified, and risen for him, an Ethiopian eunuch. We get so lost. What church do you go to? Oh, what denomination are you? Oh, what do you believe about this? And what do you believe about that? And oh, this is wrong. And oh, that's right. And oh, by the way, what about, and what? And we don't talk about Jesus. And Philip reminds us of the simplicity of the gospel message that can change people's lives. So we learn here today. Are we willing to listen to the Holy Spirit, to the leading of God? Are we willing to build a relationship, a conversation with people who are different than us? And are we willing to not get lost in all that the world and even most of Christendom gets lost in and simply talk about Jesus? Are we willing? But now we come back to why a eunuch? I mean, he could have said a guy in a chariot. Could have said a guy in a chariot from Ethiopia. But he says a eunuch. Now, I don't know about you, but I did a little research in this whole eunuch thing. And again, if you don't know what a eunuch is, well, it is a male who has had a procedure to take away that ability to procreate, to reproduce. And eunuchs were used usually in places of great authority. And they were used in that place of great authority because they had an ear to the rulers. What am I getting at? Well, number one, they would put eunuchs in charge often of guarding and protecting the king, the ruler's wives. I think that's an obvious one, folks. They knew that if they had eunuchs, men who could no longer wanted to, because that wasn't there, reproduced, their wives were safe. And so they put them in charge. But they still answered to the king, to the ruler. They also put him in charge of the treasury, much like this eunuch. And the reason they did that was usually eunuchs came by way of not having family. They didn't have a strong family connection, a mother, a father. And so they were brought into the palace. And in being brought into the palace, they were then, again, underwent this procedure. And no one was saying, hey, don't do that to my kids. Then as they were raised up, they couldn't reproduce. So now you have an individual who has no family of origin and will have no family in the future. Therefore, they have no agenda. So they can't have their family members go to the ruler and say, they say, hey, go tell the king that I need a few extra land, acres of land. And so the eunuch would walk up and say, hey, my loved one needs some more. And it was a power struggle. Eunuchs afforded leadership the ability to have loyal sidekicks, loyal people next to the ruler who had no agenda, even though they had the ear of the ruler. That's what makes the eunuch unique. And in this passage and throughout Scripture, what makes it unique is that here Philip listens to God. Here Philip builds a relationship with a eunuch. Here Philip shares the simple message of Christ. And we see that the eunuch goes off rejoicing. And guess what? All of a sudden, he has a family. All of a sudden, he has an agenda. All of a sudden, this eunuch has the ear of the Ethiopian ruler to tell her about Jesus. All of a sudden, all the eunuchs who are told this message, all of a sudden, all of his colleagues who are connected in leadership have the message of Jesus, and they have a direct line to the leaders. And if the leaders' lives are changed, then the people's lives are changed. And if Jesus is lifted up in that country, then people are lifted up to Jesus. This is an amazing, strategic, powerful move by God to further the gospel of Jesus Christ to Ethiopia. But it all started because the Spirit said to Philip, go to the south road. Go to the desert road. And Philip listened and obeyed. God has something unique for each of us. I truly believe that God has someone unique for each of us. Someone who needs to know. Someone who in turn can tell others. Someone who is unique to the needs of the kingdom of God. The question is, will we listen to the Spirit of God and let God change this world? Unique. Amen.